Hello, and welcome to the On an Adventure podcast, the show where I talk to magic content creators to learn how magic has impacted their lives. I am your host, as always, Looter Scooter, and if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/looter_scooter. Today, I am joined by the wonderful Bobby Christine. Bobby is the founder of Birds of Paradise, which is a group of other content creators designed around inclusion and supporting minority voices. Bobby, how are you doing today?
I'm doing absolutely lovely today. I did have to actually put down the cards to come and join us. I'm in the middle of some brews right now, as yeah. I always am. So thank you for having me. So that's so good to be here.
Absolutely. What brews are you working on?
The one I stepped away from just now is I'm working on a Ravnica Remastered only deck. Okay. For a charity coming up, mm-hmm. and it's a deck built completely out of Ravnica Remastered, and I'm going to put some cards on the side that aren't from Ravnica Remastered, but are very Ravnica, you know, from Ravnica as well.
Right.
So it's going to be like a Ravnica pre-con is essentially the idea, with some upgrades included, and I'm at a crossroads now,
mm-hmm.
where it's like everything I've included is pure Ravnica.
Right.
But it's five colors, so it's going to be tough. Do I go ahead and just give them the command tower, the exotic orchard, and the commander sphere, even though those aren't Ravnican? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is there like a version of those cards that's like set on Ravnica, but like maybe like isn't like from a Ravnica specific set?
Chromatic Lantern.
Yeah. Chromatic Lantern. Yeah.
I don't have one from Karlov Manor. I only have one from Return to Ravnica. So do sure. I break the rule of the deck of it being only Ravnica Remastered?
Yeah.
Or no? What do you think?
I think you do. I think having the deck be like functional, like supersedes the theme. Because the like, sure. I don't think anyone's going to like be mad at you if you're like, this is my Ravnica deck, and you play a command tower. Yeah. No one's going to get mad at you for
sure,
that.
Sure.
But so like, if you cast like a Dockside Extortionist in your Ravnica deck, then people are going to be like, what the hell is this? You know?
Right. No, okay. Thank you for helping me talk it out. So before we're done here, I'm going to add the Commander Sphere, the Chromatic Lantern. I think I'll add a Fel Warstone.
Mm.
And Exotic Orchard and a Command Tower. I think I'll add those to help it run because it's five colors. Anyways, that's what I've been up to.
Yeah, that's sweet. I am with you. I always love making new brews. I'm constantly brewing decks because brewing decks is fun.
Shop don't stop. That's what I say. My last name is Brewer, which feels like destiny. Like,
I'm meant
to brew.
Like, you're either meant to like... grow up like in an actual brewery making like beer or whatever, or just be a magic player. Those are the two options given.
I hate beer, so it's definitely not the first.
That's understandable. I same way. I also do not like
controversial
beer.
Take for the internet, all beer is bad. You can send that one. Ooh,
that's a take. I mean, yeah, beer's not for me. Like, it's like, I get why people like it, but man, it is not for me. But yeah, how have you been enjoying like Murders of Karlov Manor? Because that set seems really fun to brew with.
Karlov Manor, I haven't. Okay, more. I guess I got all I have for you today is apparently hot takes.
Okay,
but I'll be honest, I haven't been like posting much about Karlov Manor. Because aside from a single crocodile, big crocodile turtle elk that I want in my life, aside from that one card, I haven't been so disinterested in a set in a long time. That's the hot. I'm bringing the fire today. It's, you know, there's so many sets. It's hard to be into all of them.
Yeah.
And compared to Lost Caverns with the dinosaurs and the deep cavern and the heart of the plain and the merfolk and the pirates... And compare it to Eldraine with just pure fairy tale aesthetic, which is, of course, up my alley.
Yeah.
It's just not there for me. I'm just like, murdering and stabby and fancy. And I'm just like, I'm okay. I'm all pass on this one.
I
But there's some beautiful cards in there, of course.
Yeah. I mean, the Pride of the Hulkblade is a just hilarious card. Like, I think that card is so funny.
I want to make that turtle.
Yeah. Like, I saw that and I was like, I feel bad for all the Doran players who want to put this in their deck. But also, damn, this card's funny. This card is... 215 is one of the stat lines of all time.
Dude, so big. I love the big toughness. I used to have a Doran deck. Mm. I traded it. I kind of regret it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I've always wanted like a turtle deck. Mm-hmm. And I know we have Archelos, but I don't want to play Archelos. He's just not doing the thing I want to do.
Yeah.
There just hasn't been the right turtle for me, but this big toughness turtle, I'm ready. I want to build it. I want to swing in and just do the thing.
Yeah. How many turtles are there in Magic?
Not a lot. That is okay. Would be funny if there was. I had that stat off the top of my head. That'd be like a funny party.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That would be very impressive. Just off the top of your head, you're like, it's 17. Yeah, it definitely does feel like one of those creature types that's like, you got to merge it. Like, also include like crabs in there too, because crabs are like basically turtles.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. A crustacean or a small shelled, like, hard shelled critter deck.
Yeah, you'll put some trilobites in there.
Snails.
There's probably some snails, some trilobites even. you get to put oh god, what's the giant like 017 crab from Zendikar?
Charix?
Yes.
Yep.
You put him in that deck.
Crusty little guys deck.
Yes.
Someone build the crusty little guys deck, please.
Someone do it.
I might build the crusty little guy deck. We'll see.
Yeah. Just little crusty little guys. They're just so cute. Who would ever attack you? They're just so adorable. This is like the types of things I think about when building decks is like, what if I just like took like silly little guys and put them in a deck?
Amen.
And sometimes... Yeah, and sometimes those guys aren't so little. There's just like, I'm putting like triplicate titans or whatever in my deck.
Yeah, yep. I've got an Emrakul deck and I'm adding all of the titan gods and I'm like, this is my little guy.
This is, yeah.
I'm going to add.
Yeah, my 13 mana, 13-13. She's a little guy, you know.
Nothing
she's
stopping my Ulamog and my Cozy Wozy from being little guys. Is what I'm basically...
I've not heard someone call Kozilek Cozy Wozy. That's adorable. That is not little
That's
guy energy right
me.
There.
That's what he is to me.
Yeah. And that's very little guy energy. It's just calling your fucking 10 mana tentacle monster a little guy. He's Cozy Wozy. Oh my god.
I feel like I've derailed any form of interview with just rambling about Magic, but that's also perfect, right?
Yeah, no, that's the vibe. I did not have any questions planned. I just like talking to people about anything, honestly, or just like hearing them ramble. That's
nice.
Yeah. But how long have you been playing Magic?
I say I started in 2007 with Lorwyn.
Okay.
But I didn't start playing because that's like when I started collecting almost. Because like I had access to a bunch of Lorwyn cards that my uncle didn't want and I just went nuts and it was like the coolest thing I'd ever known.
Sure.
And I had Magic and I was into Magic, but I wasn't playing Magic. It was like a Pokemon collector in that sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wasn't until Return to Ravnica 2012, that's when I started putting them down on the table and making all kinds of decks and like slinging all kinds of cards. Modern, nice. Kitchen table modern, essentially.
Yeah, right. As I think everyone starts out, they're just like, this is cards I own against my next door neighbor or whatever.
Right.
You starting with Lauren, that like is so I did not know that before now, but that is, that tracks. Like, that's just like, this explains so much.
Yes. You run out of room on the Twitter, on like the Twitter bio eventually, on like your social media profile bios eventually. Yeah. But if I had a tiny, tiny bit more room, I would have left on there. It said, I used to have Lorwyn Born.
All of the, like, your vibes are just like fairy tale, you know, folklore aesthetic. And I'm just like, that's sick. That's a brand. And I approve of said brand.
Spell fables.
Yes, right? Exactly. Like spell, like your series spell fables, like 100%. You're always like,
I've got an Elevir deck.
Yeah, your Elevir deck. Like, you're always talking about like Eldraine being just aesthetic.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I have an on an adventure like border on Twitch. You're totally, I didn't even like, honestly, yeah. I don't know how on purpose that was, but you're totally right. It all like comes back to kind of the fairy tale.
Yeah.
And Lorwyn was like the spiritual predecessor to Eldraine. Yeah. So absolutely.
Yeah. It's sweet. I love it. Eldraine's also like one of my favorite worlds. Like it's, I love like seeing all the like folklore references to everything. Was just like, this is cool, this is sweet. But yeah, speaking of spell fables, how did you end up like starting streaming?
Streaming, I didn't, I'm like one of the pandemic streamers essentially.
Right
before 2020, I worked at UPS and I was just a UPS warehouse worker, and I would just throw packages for, that's what I did. That was like my occupation. The pandemic hit. They were like, you're essential to us. You're an essential employee, they called us. And I was like, it doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't, yeah.
So at a certain point I was like, this isn't congruent with who I am and what I want to be doing. And towards the end, I just randomly discovered Twitch. I didn't know what Twitch was. And then I found Twitch. And I was like, oh, look, this is like a thing people are doing. So I followed Genshin Impact. I followed two Genshin Impact streamers. And I was just like, this is cool. This is like a whole thing. And yeah. I became both of their mods over time just because I liked hanging out and it was easy to trust me. And I knew what, you know, just having a competent member of the community there to like be around. They were like, cool, let's make Bobby a mod. And I was like, I want to be a mod. That sounds great. And so then I discovered what Twitch was. And I was like, hold on, I can just do that. Just do that. I started with Hearthstone. I quit UPS and I just started with Hearthstone. I just went for it. And I haven't, you know, it's been a part of the journey since the beginning. At this point, I don't say like, oh, I'm a streamer in that sense.
Right.
But I always will have a stream and I always will at some point be streaming, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, I would not say podcaster is my first thing I do in the Magic community, but I, you know, I do host a podcast, you know, I do that.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, trust me, you'll see me online for several hours live at some point.
Yeah. That's really cool. I like how I definitely resonate with the, they call you an essential employee, but like, it doesn't feel like it. You're like, yeah, like, oh, sure. I guess that's like technically true. Like, yeah, sure. I am required to be here to do this job, but also,
yeah,
I don't feel like I don't get any enjoyment or fulfillment out of this, you know?
They're like, you're essential. You must continue to work because this country needs you. Also, everything's exactly the same as before.
Yeah.
So right. Go to work.
Yeah. That job definitely feels like it's one of those types of jobs that did not change much during the pandemic, I would imagine. Or maybe it did change a lot. I don't know. Did it change a lot?
I got out right at the beginning. So I actually.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We can go right out of there.
That is probably the correct choice. I mean, oh goodness. Yeah. That's wild. You just jumped straight into Twitch. That's cool. I do like that.
Yeah.
You got to take risks in life sometimes, and jumping your job for Twitch, like, because that's what you want to do. That's like, that's a risk, but like,
yeah,
definitely
it's
can pay
kind
off.
Of the dream. I have very good people who have been in my life, my entire life, who like helped me sustain a living situation. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do it without the help of people in my life, but at the same time, I still kind of get to live the dream. So I don't, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I count my blessings and I don't really complain. You're not going to find me complaining very often.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a little hard to, because if you complain about like, oh man, streaming is so hard. All the people who don't know how to stream or get into content or know how hard it is, they can be like, what? How is it so hard? Like, yeah. this is the dream. I wish I could make my living streaming magic. It's mm-hmm. like, yes, but also like, it's hard.
Yeah. And the thing I'm stressing about right now is like having everything ready and like making our presence at MagicCon Chicago like as good as it can be, and like what a blessing that's the thing that's stressing me out like right now. Like,
yeah,
that's what I get to worry about. That's like what a blessing. So yeah, I don't complain. I just try and be out here and make a positive impact and make sure my presence online makes people happy and makes their lives better. And like, yeah, I needed to make a little more money doing it, but we'll get there.
Right. Yeah. It'll happen over time, you know, like, I mean, especially like, I am stressed about, I get to host a panel at a magic convention and that's what's stressing me out.
Oh
like,
my gosh. Like, oh my what? Gosh. Yeah. I'm so excited. Birds of Paradise has our first panel at MagicCon Chicago. It's going to be transgender inclusion at card shops, conventions, and competitions. Our host is Eliana Defiant Cathar, fellow ambassador. I'm so excited. I'm nervous. Naturally, I've never done a panel before, but at the same time, I have incredible minds on the stage with us. And Eliana is amazing. And it's like, I've done this before.
Yeah.
It's like, she's like, don't, she's like, you're totally good. Don't even sweat it. I was like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah. I am. So for record, this episode is going to go live after Chicago, but I am extremely excited to watch that panel.
Yay.
I'm just like, this is like, first of all my friends are on it. Like, that's mm-hmm. a plus. Second of all, it's about shit I care about. That's great. Third of all, I don't know. The first two are enough. Third of all, that's the most important one, is it's at 2 p.m., which means I'm like not going to be like dead asleep because it's at like 10 in the morning or whatever.
Perfect.
Yeah. Because anytime at magic conventions, I like wake up at like 11 in the morning. And then I don't get out of my hotel room until like 12 or 1. So I'm just like,
yep, that is,
I don't
honestly
care.
If I wasn't at a convention, if I didn't have things to do at a convention, essentially, if I wasn't working, if I'm at a convention for fun, I'll sleep in. I'll show up after 12.
Oh yeah.
But I always get up, I'm always there at like 8. I'm like, how early do we, when does it start? I'm like, why?
Anytime I have to work a convention, I'm like, I have to be up at how early? I'm like, oh God, why? Why did I do this? Why did I sign up for this? And then I remember, oh right, I'm getting paid to go to a convention. This is all worth it.
I'll work conventions I ain't getting paid for. That's don't get your, put, find yourself in this situation, in that situation.
It has been funny because I've worked a lot of conventions recently, because I worked at both PAX and SCG Cincinnati in the past few months. And it definitely gave me like a different appreciation for how conventions are run, because man, there's so much work that you do not notice. It's wild.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I have really huge respect for like Sealed and Summit for being mm-hmm. essentially fan operations, like,
right,
incredible.
Yeah, that's those two. Those two came to mind. It's like, wow, that is, y'all are running a full on convention from just like purely like the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes so much work and so much effort that, like, no one's going to notice. Not no one, but, like,
yeah,
no one's going to notice how much work went into it and how much, like, planning.
No, the attendees don't. Attendees don't know what's happening. They're like, it's this all came like this, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it there's just no, happened. Like, you can just snap your fingers and you have a convention for you can snap your fingers, you have a full conference room booked for a weekend, and it's just in a nice place, and you just have all your staff are just there, that you just snapped your fingers and you got them. They're just there. Yeah.
I think to get the full scope, like, to really understand it, you got to be, like, behind, like, the 2 days before the convention, where they're in the building and everything's moving and there's pallets, like, moving, and there's big garage, gigantic garage doors opening and closing for people to come through, and everything's still wrapped in cellophane and wood pallets, and, like, it's all coming down. Like, that's the perspective that it takes, I feel like, to be like, wow, this is, like, truly an operation. It's, I don't know. That's when I got the perspective, when I saw, like, the behind the open doors, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the most incredible part too, is, like, all the vendors and everything, they get their stuff in, like, night before or, like, day before, and they just all set it up,
right?
And it's, like, clean Friday morning.
Yep.
And you just
yep
don't notice how much work that is, like, putting right all that stuff up and then, like, taking it down Sunday evening or Monday morning. Like,
I can't help but enjoy kind of helping with the setup and tear down operations. I kind of get an enjoyment out of that for sure.
I do like tear down. I mean, I did theater in high school, and anytime we tear down a set, it was fun tearing down a set, because you just, like, look back on the whole all the rehearsals you did with it, all the set pieces. You're just like, this was fun, and then, like, the tear down's like, all right, now we get to move on. Like, this is the symbolism of moving on in my mind is how I saw it.
Yeah.
So when you started, when you found Twitch, were you part of, like, the online magic sphere, like, on Twitter or Discord or anything? Or were you just, like, played magic but not really had an online presence with it?
My memory is terrible, so I'll start with that. But when I started, it was... I was part of the Genshin Impact communities for a while. Like, I was hanging out with them for a while, and I'm still friends with a couple of them to this day. But I don't remember how... I remember having no idea it was a thing.
Okay.
When I started playing, I was like, oh, look at the spell table. Let's play Commander with friends on spell table for the stream.
Right.
And so I just did that. And then I found a giant Twitter community and I found out that this is a thing people are doing. I didn't know affinity artifacts. I didn't know mana curves. I didn't know any of this stuff. And I was just like,
Holy moly.
A whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm, like, behind. People have been doing this for a while, actually.
Yeah.
And I just naturally came to it because I was streaming. I was like, okay, what can I stream? And I, you know, I'm drowning in magic cards. Just, like, so many of them, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it seems like a natural fit to just play with all of the magic cards, right? And so that's what I did. I started playing with them.
Yeah.
And I found friends, and I met the Filthy Casuals, and I got my friends back in the day, Randy and Kate from Cardboard Combat. I was like, you guys come play magic. I met Lynn, and then I just met so many people. Katie Karloff started Birds of Paradise. And it all just snowballed. It just felt so natural. There was no, like, method. It was just, it almost was just meant to happen, if you believe in that kind of thing. Because it just happened so naturally, and it wasn't, I didn't force anything. I just love playing Commander with my friends on the internet. So that's what I did.
Yep. I definitely feel, like, that similar thing of, like, it just felt natural to just like meet all these people. Cause like I had like interacted with various Twitch communities since like 2019. And like, you know, been active in like their Discord servers or whatever, but I didn't have a Twitter account until like mid 2022. And then from there, I just like kept meeting people on Twitter. And then I found like new streams to join, which then found me more new people on Twitter. And
we're a little hive.
Yeah.
We're a little hive. No, just want to keep us all healthy and happy and making great honey. That's like my whole, that's all I want to do.
Yeah. Oh yeah, just hang out with your friends, just vibe. Yeah, it's just great. You know, every time I'm like, every time now I open up Twitch, I'm like, oh, there's like four of my friends streaming. I can just like hang out with four of my friends.
Isn't that fun?
In one night. It's great.
Yeah, I'm a creator today, and I put out the content, and I have my own online presence. But there, I almost refuse to let go of the part of me that also just wants to hang out in my friends' Twitch chats.
Yeah.
And just like, just be in the Twitch chat and have, that's how I had fun. And that's still fun to me. And right. I sometimes want to like have to walk this balance of like, I hope you don't think I'm in your Twitch chat to network or to be like here for crap.
Right.
I just like your vibes and I'm an audience member. I want to be in the audience too. You know, that's fun for me. So
That does bring up an interesting point of like how when you start getting into content and your content is like heavily based on collabs, like you need people to stream with, you know, or, you know, I need guests for my podcast. It's like meeting people does sometimes feel like work. And I kind of hate that. Like, it's like cool that your networking lets you meet new people, but then it kind of just becomes required kind of as your job. And it's like, man, like I just want to go to dinner with like a bunch of magic people and hang out, and I don't want to have to like talk about the fact that I have a podcast and I'd like half of them on the show, you know.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you can avoid it if you you don't have to.
Right. You but, can avoid
you
it.
Know there's a balance. There's I don't know, it's all I feel like it is a skill to know when it's like feels natural, like when it when you're like able to like make a good, fun, genuine connection, and at the same time, oh, it just so happens that, you know, we're in the same space and that we can, you know, improve each other's content or work together to make something cool or anything like that. That's almost like the natural, like secondary kind of effect to the natural connection. But that's, you know, they call it networking, but it means a lot of things. It means so many things. And it's just kind of part of the ecosystem of doing it. And it's one of the skills people can have, you know, people can have editing skills, people can have streaming skills. They can have scheduling skills. They're like, I'm on, this person's on schedule. Some people have the skills of all of them.
Yeah.
There's some members of Birds of Paradise who I'm like, how are you good at everything? And you know, I just networking and like connecting with people is just one of those many things in my opinion.
Yeah. One balance I've found recently that has like worked for me is like, if I'm like at a Magic Con, right? And I just, let's say like I'm like hanging out with like one of my friends, and then in that friend group, like we just get like, I don't know, group dinner or whatever. And I meet like a couple other content creators. I won't like mention my podcast at all. We'll just like talk in normal. And then like a week later, I'll like message them on Twitter or whatever and be like, hey, we met at dinner at Magic Con. I host a podcast. You want to be on it? And then it's like, they already have like the natural human connection of meeting me before like any networking
that sounds
went down.
Right. And so like, that sounds natural. That sounds like such a natural kind of pace. And I don't know. That sounds great.
Yeah. That's what I found that worked for me. When I went to like, one of the conventions, I don't remember which convention I went to, where I just felt like, I was like, I have to like meet new people and like get them on my show. And I was like, I left the convention thinking, man, Like, I did it. I got a new guest on my show, but, like, I definitely could have went about this in a better way. And I figured out the better way to do it.
What's the better way?
The better way being just, like, not... Like, I tried to, like, network at the podcast or, like, at the dinner table.
Just, like,
table
in
or whatever.
The moment.
Yeah. Whereas, like, right. Now I'm like, all right, we do that afterwards.
Yes. Sometimes it can happen in the moment naturally, but...
Yeah.
That's not something I ever expect, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either. I think, like, maybe one or two of my things that's happened naturally where I just, like, offhandedly, casually mentioned that I have a podcast and then... They then asked me, oh, what's it about? And it's like, okay, well, I interview and talk to other magic creators. And they're like, oh, I'd love to be on if you'd have me on. It's like, sweet, great, we did it. But, like, that has happened, like, once or twice.
Yeah.
Compared to just, like,
those are totally people you want to find. The people who are like,
yes,
I'm in.
Yeah. The people who are like, you don't even have to pitch me this idea. I want to pitch myself to this idea.
Right.
And then, yeah, those are the people that just like, oh, yeah, it's the best. Because they're just like on board. Like, yeah, I am that person. If someone like pitches an idea to me, I'm like, I'm in. I'm in. Like, I want to do it. Which, you know, has led to me doing too many things at once before.
I did that attitude till I wore myself down.
So yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. I need to be careful with that attitude because it's such a natural kind of reaction. It's just a natural impulse for me to be like, I'm in. Let's do this. I love to collab.
Yep.
Let's play. I want to do this game. Yes. I want to do this interview, this meeting, this game. Yeah. I'm in. Please schedule me. And I did it to myself to where I drove myself just a little bit too nuts. So I'm like, Robbie, you got to find a little balance. So like all of this month, people are reaching out. I'm like,
I'm booked. I'm fully booked.
I'm like, hit me with the March schedule. If someone messages me and they were like, here's my February schedule. And it was like, it's like at the first week of February, people message me February schedules. So I was like,
yep,
thank you so much. Hit me with March.
I feel
a little bad, but I gotta not.
I mean, I think most people like take it well if you're like, I would love to be in this, but I just like am too busy right now. Reach out to me when I'm more free. Was like one of the most common responses I got when I started this show, and I was like, reach out to friends, and they'd be like, hey, I'd love to be on. I'm busy right now. Reach out to me in like 2-3 weeks. And I'm like, cool, great, I'll do that. And then, you know, I do that, and it's great. But doing it when people are just like, if someone's like, I don't want to overbook someone. I don't want to be like, oh, if you're so busy, like, I don't want to also make you do this thing. Because, like, you need rest. You need time to yourself. But then I don't do that to myself. Then I'm just like, yeah, I'll just join every stream that everyone sends me. Right. And I will try and get, like, 5 people on in... I'll try and get like 10 people on in a month. And I'm like, oh God, what have I done to myself?
Other people taking care of their limits and their response and is not your responsibility. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I do have to. Yeah. Yeah. I'm also like balancing like work life. And this cause also work, I guess, like content life, like magic and life. It's hard. It's so hard.
Yeah, I had to work on recently because it was magic every day, all day, mm-hmm. all the time. Yeah. And I was like, I don't think I'm having fun with this game right now.
Yep.
And that happened a little while, probably towards the beginning of this year. And when that happened, I was like, I gotta change something real quick. And I gotta, mm-hmm. I want to have fun playing magic. I want to enjoy my relationship with magic. And I can, but I gotta reel it back and I gotta focus on like what's right in front of me rather than like what's the next convention or what the next set or what the next promo or what the next
whatever
magic
is
basically. Yeah. So you can do too much and you gotta, in my opinion, the answer usually is to step back for a little bit when it comes to like a lot of things that are like, if something feels like it's been too much, you just step back for a while.
You just take a break. Yeah.
That's going to do a lot of work. That's going to do a lot of work is stepping away from for a little while. So I've been feeling less online. Mostly what I do magic-wise has been prepping for Chicago. As soon as Chicago's over and I know that we did it and everything was perfect, we can hone back in on different things. So for now, though, I've been enjoying playing Pokemon with my best friends.
Really?
In the meat space, out in the meat space, I was like, oh, wait a second. I can, enjoy video games with my friends. I don't have to, I don't know. It's like simple stuff like that. It's like somehow I forgot that I can just not
touch grass.
Right. Essentially, even if touching grass isn't even touching grass, even if touching grass is like spending a few hours playing Pokemon with my best friend, in the living room, even that becomes something that I get too disconnected from my patterns, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that. You just taking a break is it feels bad to do because you're just magic's my life. I love magic. Why would I not love magic at all times? But taking a break is just the healthiest thing you can do sometimes. It's
and
hard
that,
to
that
do.
Feeling bad of doing it is I don't want to feel that. I will refuse to feel bad for doing another thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So do you play so you said that you play the video games for Pokemon?
Yeah, I'm going, been doing retro. We're playing, me and the guys. Mm-hmm. I have a group of friends. They're all my bros from back in the day. We've been friends since high school. We're having a Pokemon Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire tournament. And we're all going to battle each other. We're going to have singles and doubles. And we're all building our team and battling. And the first weekend of April is the deadline to have our teams ready. And we're all just going to hang out, order pizza, you know, have our festivities.
Yeah.
And just battle each other in Pokemon all weekend. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
Beautiful.
That's so, oh my God, that sounds like the best.
It's the dream, right?
Yeah. It's funny you say that too, because Omega Ruby.
That's why I don't complain.
Right. Omega Ruby was the last Pokemon game I played. I have not played a single Pokemon game since Omega Ruby. I started playing Pokemon Moon, and then, Moon was 2017. Yeah, a lot of things just changed in 2017 that I just got really busy with life stuff then.
Sure.
And so I just I took a break from Moon because I just couldn't. Yeah. And then I just forgot to play it again.
I think that was a natural falling off point.
Yeah. And then I haven't played a Pokemon game since. But I used to be big into competitive singles. I loved playing. I still do play it sometimes. I got back into it a few years ago, and I was like, this is fun. This is life.
I've played since I was a kid, and I played every single one that's ever come out. Nice. Mainline.
Right.
And so having done that, and now finally at a point where I'm so jaded about changes and how the mainline's games have progressed mechanically.
Yeah.
That I'm I'm just not, I'm just going to go back. The games I love, they're right there.
That's true.
I don't have to love Scarlet and Violet. I already love Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. I am very stern in my opinion now that they are the Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, the best Pokemon games ever made. Straight up. They're the pinnacle. They are the magnum opus of generation one. One through six.
Yeah.
Generation one through six, that's the chapter, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That's the story of Pokemon, and I think Gen 6 with Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire was the perfect capstone. A S-tier finale to this kind of block of Pokemon era that I felt like the chapter kind of turned right after.
Yeah.
That's just
how whether, yeah, I definitely agree. X and Y was a very different vibe from Black and White when I played it.
It was.
But Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, I was okay, this feels like a Gen 3 game. This feels like I'm playing Emerald, but with like Gen 6 mechanics. Like,
yep.
That's good. I'm in for that.
Absolutely. Yep. I enjoyed X and Y quite a bit, but not as close to Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. Straight up.
Yeah. Same here, for sure.
Pokemon Soapbox. I haven't been on one in a little while. So.
Oh, I am so down to talk about Pokemon. I love Pokemon. Like that
this is
my
another thing
childhood.
Too. Like I have loved and been crazy about Pokemon maybe almost as much as Magic the Gathering. And I'm like, I should just let myself enjoy that too. Like I cannot shut up about Pokemon. Why not? Let's talk about that. I've actually been, so I'm going to start a little TikTok series. I like to, and when it comes to TikTok, I don't want to put too much effort.
Yeah.
You just got to like fart them out a little bit, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. You just got to like throw a bunch of like videos and one of them's going to hit like 10,000 views. Like one of them's just going to go viral.
Exactly. So one thing I've been wanting to do, totally not Magic related even, is like these retro songs are so good. They're so like whistleable.
Yeah.
So I want to like, as I'm going on my walk with my dog outside, I just be like, here's episode one. Tell me what this song is from. And I'm a great whistler, by the way.
Okay.
And I'll like whistle the song.
Sure.
And I'll be like, and that's it. And it's just like quick, snappy.
Yeah.
What song is this? This is the song, like the bike song, you know, or dun 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 dun.
Yes, yes.
It's a little tougher with lipstick on, but
yeah, that's fun. That's like that, like gets engagement. Like that's very fun. I like that.
There's so many Zelda songs too you can do to like.
Oh yeah. Yep.
You know. Oh, who knows? Yeah. Oh, I wonder what that song could be.
Right.
Everyone knows what that song is, which means they'll go to the comments and they'll be like, "It's the rain song."
Yeah.
Some rain, sun, or something.
Yeah. Song of Storms, I think that's ever. The funniest part
is
with
there you go.
Yeah, with video game songs. They're like the super common ones. Everyone like knows they're like, oh, it's that song. Like I recognize that song. But like right. Some of the names, you're just like, what's the song called again?
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's my thing. That's my thing about like pop music. Anytime someone's like tells me like the name of a pop song, I'm like, what song? They're like, you haven't heard of that song? I'm like, oh, no. I definitely heard it. I do not know what it's called this. If you play me 5 seconds of the song, I'll recognize it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know the name of it.
Yeah.
And Pokemon music is good. I love Pokemon music. Mm-hmm. It's great.
It
soundtrack.
Just slaps.
Yeah. My favorite song from, maybe not my favorite Pokemon song, but my favorite root theme is in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. It's, I think it's Route 112. It's the one like right next to Fall Arbor Town where like the soot is falling. That song.
Oh
is,
man.
I gotta that song, hear it. along, oh my god, it's so good. Yeah, if you I don't know if anyone listens to this pod, listen to that song. That song is my childhood. I swear.
Route 112.
I think it's Route 112. If it's not, I'm moving that, but I'm pretty sure it's Route 112. Nice.
Editor Looter here. It is not Route 112. Past Looter is a fake fan. It is actually Route 113. Thank you.
The little tournament you said with your friends reminds me of something I used to do with my younger brother. Whenever we played Pokemon, we would battle each other after every gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like we would just like after every gym, we just like would agree not to like progress to the game until the other person like finished the gym, and then we both like do a battle.
Yeah,
and then like
that's perfect.
We did that. Yeah, we did that like after the champion too, and then I think in like. Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, and then in Black 2 and White 2, we did a level 100 battle, where all of us had level 100s, and we're just using legendaries and stuff, and it was like,
yeah.
this is fun. This
That's
is
epic.
Great, yeah. We put a bunch of house rules on it, too, because, like, of course, like, we can't, you know, like, obviously, like,
I'll be spamming about it.
Yeah, two siblings are definitely going to try and, like, break every rule that, like, you think would. So, like, we just got to put, like, hard rules on it.
Yep. You got to have the house rules.
Yeah. And my
legendaries, like, just they're just too strong.
So we actually did say, like, that this is the funniest part. This is the one I deeply remember our X and Y run, because we agreed, we allowed box art legends, but, like, that's the only legend you're allowed to use.
Sure. Totally reasonable.
and so I was like, he chose Pokemon X and I chose Pokemon Y. So I'm like, all right, I got to plan my team knowing he has a Xerneas on it. And that's a freaking problem. Because Xerneas...
Yeah, totally.
if anyone's played competitive, Xerneas is like a messed up Pokemon.
Shreds.
Yeah. Thankfully, he did not know, like, the broken... Because he didn't have, like, the busted item that makes Xerneas, like, cracked and competitive. But man, that Pokemon's still just horrifying to play against. Right, naturally. And so I was just like, all right, I build my team. Like, my team, like, deadass had, I think it had, like, three poison or steel types on it. Just so I was like, I need to hit this thing super effectively as many times as I can.
That's so funny.
I was, like, metagaming for this, even though, like, I ended up not even using, I didn't even use Evil Tull on my team. Like, I didn't even use my boxer.
That's funny.
Like, I can beat you without one. Like...
Giratina's boy.
Yeah. Oh my god. Giratina is my favorite legend too. I love Giratina. Like, this is my first Pokemon game was Platinum. Like, that.
Excellent. Oh, that's so good.
God. I love Giratina.
I didn't play Platinum or Emerald or Yellow. I never played, oddly enough, never played, like, the third iteration.
You never
Crystal,
played the third one.
Emerald, Platinum, or Yellow. I never played. I don't know.
Did you ever play Black 2 or White 2?
Yes, I did. I did play both of Black 2 and White 2. That did feel more like direct, like, sequel kind of situation, which was
right. It's funny because I only played Crystal. I never played Gold or Silver, and I only played Emerald, and I only played Platinum. So I never
That's perfect.
Yeah, I only played the third version, except Yellow. I played Blue because Yellow
That's
is
why they
terrible.
Exist.
Yeah, Yellow is bad. No. Yellow is, like, which sucks because, like, it's the one that's based on the anime. But, like, man, Yellow is not good. Yellow is not.
I thought it was basically the same game.
It kind of is, and then your starter is Pikachu instead of, like, Bulbasaur, and you realize you just can never beat Brock. You just can't ever beat Brock.
That's funny.
My older brother, who's like 10 years older, he got me into Pokemon. He was just like, all right, he got me into Platinum, and he was like, all right, if you ever want to play the old games, you play Emerald and you play Crystal, and then you play either Red or Blue, and you do not touch Yellow. And I was like, okay. I didn't question why. He was just like, Yellow is bad.
Not,
like, okay.
Biased at all.
I was like, okay. I was like, all right, sure. Yellow's bad. All right. Bet. Like, okay. I was like, yeah, this dude knows everything about Pokemon. Like, he could never be wrong. Like, yeah, Yellow is bad and Emerald and Crystal are good. Cool.
Right.
Do you have a favorite Pokemon?
I'll say Spinda's my favorite Pokemon. It just feels bad to leave some of the others out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. I love
Spinda. I love that. Something about this is very dopey.
Yeah.
Very simple Pokemon that's, like, also a teddy bear.
Yeah.
It's just perfect for me. But that's not to say I'm not a girl who loves a Blaziken. You know, I like, or Giratina's, because I like that. I like the bad pokes too, you know?
Yeah.
And I like the precious little cuties as well.
Yeah, everyone has, like, got those, like, these are the Pokemon, they're like, yeah, they're basic, everyone loves them, but, like, goddamn, they're cool. They're cool Pokemon.
Blaziken's my basic bitch Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah. Giratina is mine. Tyranitar, too. Love Tyranitar. Love Giratina. Absolutely. Like, yeah. Yep.
Got your basic bitch Pokemon and your hipster Pokemon. My hipster Pokemon are Spinda and Shuckle. I genuinely love both of them so much.
What are my hipster Pokemon? Is Frostlass a hipster Pokemon?
Yeah. Yeah. It's right on the border, but yes.
Right. I love Frostlass. That Pokemon is like, yeah, that's
one of the best spike setups in the game.
All my favorite Pokemon fall into three categories. One, I love using them either in competitive or just in the mainline games. Two, mm-hmm. they're just like silly little guys. Yep. And three, they're just gender. They're just like, yeah.
totally.
Gender vibes.
100%.
Primarina, love Primarina. Sylveon, hell yeah.
100%.
Hatterene, yeah.
Serena, oh, don't. Serena's the best.
Serena's great. Tinkaton? Tinkaton's like S tier. Virizion. Design. Virizion's good. Iron Valiant, oh my god. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are my three favorites, though. It's just one of those three. I love them using competitive. Uh-huh. They're still little guys, and they're just vibes. Like,
there are Pokemon that become my favorite only because I learned to enjoy them in battle. Like Weezing. Mm-hmm. I would never have been a Weezing fan, but I bred and trained up a Weezing back in the day, and it had a Will-O-Wisp, and it was just like, it felt like, can anything kill my Weezing? It doesn't feel like it. I felt like I had like a god Weezing in it. Like it was unkillable. And I was like, I'm going to keep this dude on my team forever. And so I ended up, now I'm a Weezing fan.
Yeah. My Pokemon with that is probably Mawile. Mawile. Because I think like Mawile, like base Mawile, I was like, this Pokemon, it's bad. It's like not good. It's also like kind of a meh design. And then Mega Mawile, which mm-hmm. first of all has like incredible design. I love Mega Mawile's design. Then it's also broken in competitive.
Just fully broken Pokemon.
It's fucking banned in mm-hmm. Gen 6 singles. And like almost got banned in Gen 7 from what I heard. And I was like, I didn't love using it in battle. Like it was like fine to use in battle. But it was just like, I see this Pokemon uh-huh. everywhere, and I just love its design so much that it just made me fall in love with the Pokemon naturally.
It's perfect. It deserves it deserves to be Mewtwo tier.
it does. Yeah. If something has those two giant jaws, like absolutely. That thing is horrifying. Thank you so much, Bobby, for being on. where can people find you on the internet?
Absolutely. You can find me at twitch.tv/BobbyChristine, and I'm everywhere else at BobbyChristine. The second I is an X. We'll see you online playing Magic and rambling Pokemon, apparently. So I'm also down for that. So thank you for having me, Ludi. I had so much fun.
Absolutely. Do you have any projects upcoming that you'd like to plug or anything?
Find us at Chicago. Birds of Paradise are going to be hosting some game tables all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday afternoon, Birds of Paradise are going to be hosting our first panel ever, Trans Inclusion at Card Shops, Conventions, and Competitions. I'm so excited for all of that. Early March, keep your eyes out. On the first week of March, we're going to be announcing our first BOP Standard Arena tournament hosted by Niall. So we are so excited. We literally have an arena standard tournament coming up. The commentating, the sponsors, the hype, y'all don't even know. And so just the birds are out here. We're all out here doing amazing things. So I got to share what I'm doing, and I'm sure what all of us are doing. It'll happen all year. So we'll see you there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bobby. Have a great day.
Yay. Thank you so much.